Welcome to the January 13th, 2021 KPFK Finance Committee. I'm going to take roll. I'm assuming Grace Aaron and Ken Aaron, they have resigned from the LSB, that they're no longer part of this committee. Alan Beek?
Alan Beek, present.
Fred Blair?
Present.
Bella DeSoto? Dave Johnson?
I'm here.
Steve Kaiser?
Here.
Tim Kaufman, that's me. I'm chair and secretary. Janine Rohn. Michael Novick.
Present.
Polina Vasiliev.
Present.
And John Wanger.
Present.
Is Aniel Fields here, the general manager? No, is Barry
Janine
Brooks
Rohn
here?
Just joined.
Okay. Is Barry Brooks here?
Here.
Okay. Do we have any guests today? James or Beth? Okay.
Bella here.
Okay, well. We have everyone then.
Have a quorum now.
Yes, we do. Full house. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda, which I just sent out?
So moved.
Kim, Grace is on the line also. She's now a public member rather than a board member.
Well, let's let Grace speak for herself. Grace?
Say that again. I'm on. I just got on.
Well, are you going to continue being a member of this committee?
Yeah, as a non-LSB member.
Okay,
unless,
well.
There's not room. Same with Ken.
There's always room for you, Grace.
Oh, thank you. But
Is Ken here?
He's calling in.
Well, when he calls in, I'll mark him present when he calls in, okay?
Okay, you just said there was a full house, so that was confusing.
Well, it was full because I had... Anyway.
Michael, to the back.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, technically, because it is a new calendar year, the committees all reform at the beginning of the year, and so there is no quorum for the first three meetings till we establish the membership again.
All right. So. Okay, well, we have a motion to approve agenda. Any comments or changes? Okay, can I get...
Kim, this is Bella.
Okay, Bella.
Did you just send the agenda? I did not see it. Did you send it just recently?
Yeah, a couple of minutes ago.
Okay. All right, I'll look at it.
Can I get a motion to approve the minutes from December 9th?
So moved.
Any comments? Okay, so next on the agenda is some comments from me, the finance chair. I was going to read a version of this along with a finance report at the December LSB meeting, but due to the usual internal Pacifica politics, the LSB never got to a finance committee report. I'll skip any financial report, and what I will say now is that I am resigning from the Finance Committee as of today. It is clear the LSB and those LSB gatekeepers on this committee do not take its responsibility to oversee KPFK's finances seriously. KPFK did not become the worst station in the network overnight. It is not because of COVID. It is because of the total lack of oversight of the finances by the LSB in general and the Finance Committee in particular for the last 5 years. Before the last LSB meeting, I asked Fred if he would step aside as treasurer and let me be treasurer this year. I said at this critical point, KPFK needs someone who really understands the numbers and is willing and able to do the work required. KPFK needs a strong advocate on the NFC, and that I am unwilling to continue to do all the work as I have done since becoming chair in June, and then painfully listen to the inadequate responses on the NFC from the current treasurer. Of course, Fred said no. He said he thinks he's doing a good job. The present financial status of KPFK should disabuse anyone paying attention of that assessment, but so be it. After voting for the Finance Committee's motion not to approve the 2021 budget at the November meeting without review or discussion, the LSB then voted against having a special LSB meeting to actually review the budget. 4 or 5 voted for it. Fred Blair voted against it, as did Directors Grace Aaron and Jan Goodman and the rest. This is unconscionable. The public should take note of the treasurer's and LSB's indifference to its primary responsibility as board members. Neither Treasurer Fred Blair nor Director Grace Aaron contributed anything to the discussions through the multiple drafts of the budget. Now that I've done all the work, they both dismissed my work as details. Overseeing finances is about details. It's not a coffee clutch, making up numbers for expediency, or magic wand waving, which is what was going on in this committee before I became chair. Lack of interest or capability to do the work is why KPFK crashed on their watch. And a shout out to Director Jan Goodman and former Director Mansur Sabah, who have also shown zero responsibility for or interest in oversight of KPFK's finances. Of course, management is not blameless. The GM's primary responsibility is to see that the station is solvent, pays its bills to vendors, and especially payroll, and to comply with all federal, state, local, and FCC rules. The GM is not compliant with any of these. In my view, the GM has shown willful indifference to performing his job to any standard of competency, including oversight of the business manager. One example is the GM blew through $550,000 in bequests in 2019 and still ended the fiscal year with a deficit and too many fund drive days. FY 2020 had a whopping $700,000 deficit and 174 fund drive days. There's plenty of blame to go around, and management deserves plenty. But again, governance should have never let the financial situation get to this point. The financial problems have been obvious to me since the beginning of FY 2019. The officers in particular on this finance committee have been negligent and incompetent in their duties. Good people willing and able to help have been ignored or driven away from this committee as well. Further, the current IED, Lydia Brazan, has been blocking Lawrence Reyes's director's inspection. This, of course, is illegal, and her reasons are jibber-jabber. Please mute. Grace Aaron also refused to do director's inspections in her 5 years sitting on this committee as director. There is simply no will for transparency and oversight of finances on this in this organization. Having the tools to do oversight is essential, and the indifference or outright stonewalling is just destructive to proper governance. This is an abdication of all fiscal responsibility. The main responsibility of a board of a nonprofit is to make sure the public's money goes where they think it goes and see that it is reported to the public as required by law. Neither management nor anyone on the LSB, including directors past and present, can honestly tell the public where their money is going, even if management or the LSB were interested in doing so. In the two most recent audits, the auditor said he could not verify Pacifica's financial reports because the books were a mess. No one gets bragging rights for overseeing two audits with these results. And any talk of getting grants or CPB funding to support KPFK or Pacifica is mere fantasy. I personally enjoy, enjoyed doing the work for the last 7 months. But it's more like reading a murder mystery. You know there's a murder being committed, you know who's doing it, and it's just putting the pieces of the puzzle together and waiting for the final denouement. It's been the perfect stay-at-home project, but to continue is just enabling bad behavior. Thanks to Lawrence Reyes for the director's inspections he did manage to get, and thanks to Michael Novick for his help on the budget. That's it. Have a nice day.
And Kim has hung up.
Sorry she left that abruptly. Because this is the first meeting of the new year, normally we do elect a chair pro tem, and it's been the practice here that the chair also takes the minutes.
Michael, we do have an audio recording of the meeting, so minutes can be generated.
What I'm suggesting is that we have an election for a chair pro tem and see if that chair is willing to do the minutes, and if not, we find the secretary pro tem.
Sounds fine to me.
I will second that, even though we don't need a second. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Paulina. Shall we do nominations then? Because we don't have why don't we just first decide who is, actually chairing the meeting, because we need someone to guide us through the mechanics of it,
okay.
Yeah, I sort of took the prerogative of the LSB chair to suggest that we do this.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
So, Michael, you're going to be the convener for this meeting today?
I guess so at this point. I didn't realize that Kim was going to leave the call. I thought she was just resigning as chair. But so if people are okay with it, why don't we proceed to see if there's anybody who's willing to volunteer or nominate themselves for chair, and we'll see if we need to have an election or what the situation is.
Bella nominates herself.
Okay, thank you, Bella. I just want to point out that on the agenda that Kim sent out, she had Grace and Ken listed as LSB members, and of course they're now public members, and she had Janine listed as a public member, and she's now an LSB member. So I corrected that, and I'll send it to whoever wants to do the minutes going forward. Is there anybody else interested?
I will correct it on my end if, you know.
Okay. So anybody else present interested in self-nominating for chair of this committee?
Well, traditionally the treasurer has been chaired the meetings, but if somebody would like to nominate me, that would be nice. Or I can self-nominate myself.
Can we take a roll vote, please, so that we know who's going to chair the meeting?
Yeah. Are people okay with a voice vote on this, or
are there any other nominations?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any other nominations?
This is Grace.
Yes, Grace.
I'd like to nominate Fred. I didn't hear if someone else was nominated.
Yeah, he was nominated.
Oh, okay.
Well, Bill and the self-nominated herself also.
Who?
Repeat that?
Bella DeSoto self-nominated herself as chair.
Yeah, we have two nominees. It's Fred and Bella. I'm asking, are people okay with a voice vote, or do you want to have a written ballot and we email them to somebody?
I think we're down to a voice.
We can bypass that. Let's just do a roll call.
Okay. All right. Grace Aaron.
Fred.
Okay, Ken Ayer is not present yet. Alan Beek?
I'm present. I pass.
I'm sorry? Oh, Ken is present. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Okay.
And I pass.
Okay. Alan Beek? Alan, can you hear me? We're asking for your vote for chair of this committee, either Fred or Bella. All right, I'll move on. Fred?
I vote for myself.
Bella?
I vote for myself.
Okay, Dave Johnson?
Vote for Fred.
Steve Kaiser?
I'll vote for Bella.
Kim is no longer here. Janine?
I vote for Bella.
Paulina?
I'll pass for a second.
Okay, John Langer, I think you're here, right? Yeah, you're present. John Langer?
Yes, Bella.
Okay, coming back to Ken.
Okay.
Epstein? Okay, Paulina?
I'll vote for Fred.
That leaves up to me, huh?
There's Alan Beek didn't vote yet.
Can you hear?
Alan Beek didn't vote either.
Did you get Ken's vote?
Ken said he was abstaining.
No, he didn't. He voted for Fred.
I said Fred.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I take that back.
Right.
Yes, I heard you now. I thought I heard you say abstain. Alan Beek, can you hear us? Are you still present, Alan?
He's listed on the Maestro board, but not responding.
Maybe he's in the kitchen or the John.
This is for Chair Pro Tem, right?
It's for Chair Pro Tem for the first three meetings till we finalize our membership for the new year.
Oh, okay. Paulina would like to change her vote. I'll vote for Bella DeSoto. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to see what you can do.
And how did John vote?
Okay. John Langer?
Yeah, John voted
yes,
for Bella.
John Langer voted for Bella.
To see what you can do.
Okay, so currently I have 3 votes for Fred, and is that right? No, 4 votes for Fred, and 5 votes for Bella. Alan Beek not voting, I didn't vote. So Bella
Michael,
is chair pro tem for now.
Michael, excuse me. This is Bella. So you are not casting a vote?
Yeah, I'm abstaining.
Oh, you're abstaining. Okay, so it is an abstention. Okay.
Yeah. And we didn't hear from Alan. So at this point, Bella, you're chair pro tem. Are you willing to do the minutes as well, or do we need to try to find the secretary pro tem?
No, I'll handle that.
Okay.
And we have the recording, so that's helpful.
All right, you're chairing.
Okay. Thank you, folks. Thank you, Fred. Okay, so it is, we all heard Kim's rendition of her sentiment, serving several months on this board. I would like to concur with Kim's comments just about almost 100%. It is a disgraceful situation that we find ourselves in, but we have to move on. I appreciate that she sent us the allegiance report. I would like to ask Grace Aaron, I'm glad that you're staying on, Grace and Ken. We need everybody on board, regardless of whether we have been dysfunctional or not. But could you go over some of your comments, Grace, regarding the time of the programmers allocated to them, and you were arguing with Kim's analysis that because her position, of course, and mine is that we have a handful of people that are allocated so much time, and then we have to try to factor in and equate if it's reasonable and feasible the amount of money that are being allocated to their time slot. So do you have any comments regarding that, Grace?
Point of order. This is Dave.
Yes, Dave.
On the agenda, I think we're supposed to go to item 5 to schedule the next meeting before we continue.
Oh, you are absolutely right. Absolutely right. Thank you, Dave. Looking at
second
the calendar.
It'd be the 10th of February, the second Wednesday.
Yes, but I am also concerned that if we meet next month, that will be a month away. Things are changing very, very rapidly. And also we are going to be electing directors this coming Sunday, and we have a governance committee tonight. I urge this body to reconsider a meeting possibly before our next scheduled date on the 10th of February, if there are any takers.
Michael Divisek.
Michael.
Yeah, I think that as soon as we get December financials, which would show us the first quarter of the current fiscal year, October, November, December, that we schedule a meeting of the Finance Committee and then, if necessary, a special meeting of the LSB to consider the financial state of the station.
Very good. I concur. Any objections to that?
Michael, are you asking for a special meeting of the joint meeting of the Finance Committee and LSB?
No, I'm saying we should. The Finance Committee should meet as soon as possible after we receive the December financials, and that if necessary, we would schedule a special meeting of the LSB. The LSB would have to do that. We can recommend it from the Finance Committee. But no, not a joint meeting.
Okay. So this is what Kim was addressing, that we brought this up a month ago or so to the LSB, and it was voted down. So I fully concur, and I support that. So what I suggest now is that we do keep our next meeting as scheduled in on the 10th of February, but that we also bear in mind that if we receive the financials covering the first quarter per Michael's prescription, that we immediately call an emergency meeting or special meeting of the Finance Committee and then coordinate with the LSB to have a joint meeting as it was intended over a month ago. Any objections to that? So we'll leave it kind of loose here, that we will call a special meeting of the Finance Committee and then coordinate with the LSB as soon as possible, if necessary, a closed meeting.
May I ask how you're going to make that decision on calling a special meeting? You're going to do it by email?
Yes, yes, of course. We can, excuse me, we can get to a consensus via email. Absolutely, Fred.
Michael Newsback.
Michael.
And Fred also.
I'm wondering if Barry has any information about when the December financials would be likely available from NETA.
Barry?
Yeah. they'd probably be available probably around the end of January, probably within the next week or so. Maybe sooner.
Because it takes about... it takes several days for NETA to pick up those numbers, and they just pretty much plug them into their system. Later on, they do the auditing. So it's very possible that we might get the financials, the consolidated financials, including December, before the month is over. So
Bella, may I speak, Bella, since I... as treasurer, I sit on the National Finance Committee.
Right.
May I speak?
Yes, of course, Fred.
Last night on the National Finance Committee, NETA released the November financials. It's normally likely that the first week of February, NETA will have the consolidated December financials. That's their normal timeline.
Okay.
Because KPFK's numbers are only one of the five station numbers that go into the consolidated. They've got to collect all of those. So their normal timeline is, the first or second week of the 5 or 6 weeks after the end of the month. So December, we just ended December 31st 2 weeks ago. That would place the financials probably in the first week of February, maybe the second week.
Okay. Yes. Yes, it's possible. I understand, Fred. Thank you for that. It is possible that we may get the December consolidated before the month of January, in which case we just leave it open. So we're not really scheduling anything until the 10th. But we have to be cognizant that if we get it sooner, then we will call for a special meeting of the Finance Committee. That's all. So right now, thank you, Fred, for that. So we're on schedule for the 10th of February. That will be our regular next meeting. I would like to have Barry give us a report. And before that, unless anybody else wants to make any other comments or questions before we go to Barry.
Okay.
Yes, who is that?
This is John Wenger. I'd like to have Barry mail us the stuff so we can follow along, because although I have a pretty good memory.
Yes, I agree, John.
It's impossible for me to follow this by audio only.
Exactly. Barry?
I sent the financial report to Kim Kaufman, the financial summary report.
When did you send?
I think it was like 12 o'clock today.
12 o'clock
today.
And could Fred respond? Could Fred respond? Kim did send out your documents about 1 o'clock.
Okay, hold on. There was another item here. Let's see. But I did not. 1 o'clock. Okay, let's see. Barry, could you tell us? Can you tell us, please, to the body, how many times you have been requested to please submit the documents necessary for this body to function in advance of our meetings? How many times?
I don't know how many times. You had 2 hours to look it over. I gave it to Kim Kaufman and
Barry, you know that is not protocol. You know that is not protocol for this body to be able to look over the numbers and come up with comments and analysis. This is untenable. Do you also have an accounts payable agent report?
Yes, that's included. An accounts payable agent report and a schedule was sent in December, too, for the amount of payables that were due at the end of the month for December 31st. I sent that to Kim Kaufman, too.
Okay. I am opening up the PDF that you sent, and I see the historical eight. If somebody can mute, please. I see the historical age trial balance. I know that you recall so many times I have asked you not to attach it in a PDF with any other report, to send it as a standalone, preferably as an Excel worksheet. We cannot work with an aged accounts payable in this format. You do understand that. Barry?
Yes, I understand it, but I can't do it like within the time constraint that I had today. So that's why you got it in that format.
Okay, can you please, and I've asked you to resend the prior one, and you never have. Can you please resend this one? And also, may I ask you to send us a historical aged accounts payable report as of 9/30/2020, the end of the fiscal year 2020. Can you also do that, please?
Sure.
As a worksheet,
Excel spreadsheet,
as a worksheet spreadsheet format.
Okay.
Also, do you have a an internal P&L as of 9/30/2020 Excel format you can send us as soon as possible?
Yeah, I got that too. P&L as
okay,
of 9/30.
Good. Do you also, can you then put in November, October and November and do a comparative on the worksheet?
Just for information.
I'll get to you, Paulina.
Actually,
thank you.
Actually, when you do the financial statement, the P&L for the end of November 30th, there is a column that that tells you what the prior year was.
Yes,
so
I understand.
You can do the comparison. You can do the comparison right there off the sheet.
Yes. Okay. Then go ahead and do that, please. So you're going to send one for September 30th, 2020, and one for October-November comparative. Okay. But if you can do that as soon as possible, at the same time that you send us the accounts payable agent report.
Okay. You have your accounts payable agent report as of December 30th. The only difference is it's not in the format you want. It's all, you want it in an Excel format.
Okay. Again, we cannot work with it. So can you, Paulina, I'll come back to you, Barry. One moment. Paulina, go ahead.
Thank you. I would like to ask this body if it's the chair's prerogative to interrogate a person on the board. I'm just not sure what's going on. I thought that the chair was supposed to just chair the meeting. Where are we on the agenda, Bella? Can you tell us, Ms. Chair, Madam Chair, please?
Thank you, Paulina. We are at the area for the business manager to give us a report.
Thank you.
Okay. Can we, did anyone, Grace, I had asked you a question before regarding your commentary on the allegiance and Kim's analysis.
Are we finished with Barry's report?
No, we're not. And I want you to give us that commentary right now. We're going to get back to Barry in a moment.
Where are we on the agenda?
I'm just breaking away for a moment, Grace.
I think it's a whole subject.
Okay. Then if it's
why don't we finish Barry's report since we started that?
Right. Okay. It's going to take a while. Barry, once again, I'm trying to open up the... One moment. Okay. Can you give us a rundown on your summary? Administration and Finance Department, Barry.
Okay. So as of yesterday, our balance at the Bank of America, our operating administrative account, is at $88,789.55. We expect an additional deposit of $23,000 by January 23rd. The total amount raised for the holiday December 2020 fund drive was $346,429. The goal was $350,000. The average daily amount collected was $11,175.13. These numbers are all detailed in what I sent to Kim and Fred today. The total amount of pledges for the December drive was 3,152 pledges. The average pledge amount was $109. The fulfillment rate was 82.4%, and we had sustainers of $22,582, of which we had 92 pledges. The total amount raised for the October fund drive was $427,824. You guys have already seen these numbers before, and we had 2,914 pledges, and $37,362 in sustainers. The goal was $400,000. The average daily collection was $14,000 for October. I won't mention August because you guys already had those numbers. KPFK's outstanding December 31st payables that I sent you that wasn't in your format was $3,451. KPFK is in arrears of paying their central services for 2020 for $294,000. KPFK, in order to meet some of their operational costs, has borrowed from the Pacific affiliate $17,000, and we borrowed from KPFA $25,000 for the month of November. The loan to KPFA was paid back in December, in full. We still owe the Pacifica affiliate for $17,000. I also mentioned the Emergency Armenia Fund Partnership, Uganda Villagers Assistance, and the Agri Workers World Relief raised $26,743.81, of which we have to pay back 40%, which is $10,697. And that has not been paid yet.
Barry, can I stop you there? Have you picked that up in your accounts payable, that $10,697 that we owe now?
No, that's not in the Great Plains payable because I don't have the addresses of the location where we're going to be sending the money.
Barry, that is irrelevant. You have the name. You have the name.
That is relevant because in the Great Plains, you got to have the address in order to book the payable to a specific.
You need the name of the organization, and you can put something temporarily so that we know what our obligation is on a monthly basis. This is an accounts payable. As soon as we collected these funds, this became an open accounts payable for the responsibility of KPFK. And you need to pick up this in your aging.
I understand that, but I do not have the addresses of the location or the contact where the money is going to be sent.
Okay, so we are talking after filing. Someone has a lot of echo on their line.
This is Alan Beek on a different line.
My battery
ran flat on that one.
Oh, yeah. You have a lot of problems there. Alan, you missed the early vote for a pro temp chair
for the first 3 months starting now, the new year. I was elected.
I just missed the last 2 or 3 minutes. I heard it every up till then.
Oh, you did. Oh, you didn't get to vote. Okay, very good.
Yes, I heard the vote.
I'm sorry?
And the setting the next meeting.
Okay, very good. Barry, so we are arguing logistics here, and you are missing the point that we have to keep track of every accounts payable responsibility of KPFK so that when you give us that aging, we can be on top of what we have to pay out. So can you continue with your report?
This is Dave.
Hi, Dave. Go ahead.
I just wondered if we could request the business manager to perhaps put in a bogus address like XX Main Street
right
on that line in Great Plains, just so that the 10,000 or other accounts payable numbers could be added in, just as a place fitter address. Thank you.
Correct. Thank you, Dave. That's what I was suggesting. Okay. Go ahead, Barry.
Okay. KPFK's payables and premiums are being paid in a manner that matches what cash flow is available in the particular month. The winter and spring fund drives of this year and the fund drives associated with medium to large donations should prove to be good months for listener support revenue through podcasts, programs, cell phone, app donations, and website online support revenue. And we have streamlined some of our... We have to go with vendors that provide service at a reduced rate. Telepacific Communications has adjusted our billing rate to be in line with nonprofit rates and elimination of overlap of phone lines.
I can barely hear you. I can barely hear you, Barry.
Okay.
Bella, Fred here. I can hear Barry just fine. He's going out on the stream just fine.
Go ahead, Barry.
Okay. And then as of this date, KPFK is in dire straits and needs capital infusion immediately. Winter February 21 fund drive and a second stimulus funding is critical in buying some time for KPFK to catch up with vendor expenses and providing payroll funding for its employees, including health benefits, license renewal, insurance premiums, fund drive premiums, and national office central services. And that's about it. I also want to add that we do have a legal invoice from Fisher Phillips for $12,000 for labor applications from the lawyers. So I just want to mention that. I probably will be putting that as an accrual for December.
Hey, Fisher, can you say that name again, please?
It's called Fisher Phillips.
Phillips? And
yeah,
Is that legal, you said?
Yeah, legal expenses, yes.
Okay, what were those expenses for?
For negotiation of the layoff and also for reductions in staff.
So regarding the union contract?
Correct.
Thank you. I have a question regarding one comment that you made. One moment. What is the date of that bill, by the way?
The date of the legal bill?
Yes, please.
I believe it's October, I believe.
You're not sure. Okay, October 2020. And what was the amount again, please?
$12,000.
Even?
Yes.
Okay. So you're going to pick that up in the accounts payable?
That's correct.
Okay. What is the term on that billing?
I didn't see a term indicated on the invoice, so I don't think there's a term on it.
Very often legal billings have terms, and you can negotiate with them.
Not all of them do.
I'm sorry?
Not all of them do.
No, but many of them do. so we can get terms with them.
Are you taking a stack, Bella?
I'm sorry? Who is this?
This is Michael. Are you taking a stack for Mary?
Yes, Michael. One moment.
Fred for the stack.
Okay, Fred, hold on one moment. Can you talk to us, Barry, about the contract that you mentioned that has now signed, KPFK has now signed a one-year contract with IPFS Corporation Insurance Company for earthquake insurance effective October 20. You mentioned this about 3 months ago. Has this been picked up? When did this became effective, October 9?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Can you give us the amount, please, of the monthly payable?
It's right there. It's $587 a month for the premium.
$587?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Michael.
Okay. Yeah, so... I had a few questions. One is to say that KPFK's payables and premiums, are you referring to fund drive premiums, and that are being paid in a manner that matches what cash flow is available in the particular month? When you say premiums
specifically for premiums associated with the fund drive, I'm only paying those in which we have money to pay them.
So that is my concern. I think that the premiums that are owed should be considered a payable until they're actually fulfilled, not categorized separately from the payables. It was a little confusing because it came right after the insurance premiums. I wasn't sure if that was a reference to that. My other question is, as you talk about the dire straits, our capacity to, we have two payrolls coming up in January prior to this February fund drive, and I'm wondering about our capacity to meet them and also to pay the money to the Pacifica Foundation Affiliates Unit, which is part of the, it's another business unit of the foundation. It's not an affiliate. And then finally, I'm not clear on your, I don't know what to say. You anticipate, you say that, I can't find a sentence now, but you kind of say that things will look up, and I wonder what basis you have. Oh, it says here, yeah. The winter and spring fundraising this year and the fundraise associated with medium to large donations should prove to be good months for the listener support revenue, podcast program, cell phone, app donations, and website online support revenue. So I'm wondering what the basis of that projection is in terms, because historically we do raise much more of our revenue in the first half of the fiscal year than in the second. And, we've already had two fund drives in this first quarter of the fiscal year. So if you could speak to that based on any historical evidence that shows that you think things will pick up in February, because the trend from October to December is down in terms of the daily pledges. Thank you.
Well, usually during the February fund drive, we do pretty well. We do have a whole month of fundraising for February. So I anticipate definitely paying back the Pacific affiliate by the first week of February. As of this date, we have paid the health fund benefit for all the employees of KPFK. And then we also funded our payroll today for the 15th. So we just have the end of the month
payroll to fund, and I'm hoping that we can meet that goal.
I'm sorry, the 88,000 is after having made the first payroll for January?
Yeah, we had, like, before we made the payroll payment, the balance was $90,000. So the payroll funding was $74,000, and that's already been done. And then the health benefit expense has already been paid, too. So I'm optimistic. Maybe I'm hoping that we can get the end of the month payroll.
Fred, Michael, are you done?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Fred?
Thank you.
And this is Grace for the stack.
Grace, yes.
Okay, Barry, could I re-clarify the payroll? So you're saying that the 15th payroll, which was calculated today, was $74,000, and that was already subtracted from the bank balance that is currently $88,000, or does that still have to be subtracted from the bank balance?
Yeah, that 74 has to be subtracted. Yeah.
Okay, so the bank balance will be something on the order of 14,000 after payroll is removed. And this is the bank balance.
Actually it's $17,000 after the payroll funding.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and this is the bank balance after fulfillment of the December fund drive. The fund drive that raised something on the order of $324,000 were pledged. How much of that pledge has been fulfilled at this point in time?
Of that amount, we probably received 70% of that so far.
Repeat that. I didn't hear that.
Of that amount, we probably received 70% of that December fund drive amount.
So you expect to receive another, 20 or 25% of that?
Correct, in the month of January.
Okay. So at this point on Friday, there will be $17,000 in the bank account, and you have another payroll of about $74,000 at the end of the month. That makes a difference. The difference between that is on the order of $50,000 that has to come in to make payroll.
Right, and then also we had that end of the year mail campaign, which means that donations are coming in for that too. So we're hoping we'll get money for that too. The end of the year mail campaign we did.
So do you have any estimate of how much additional money will come in this month?
I don't, like I said, I don't know the specific number, but I do expect donations to come in for the end of the year mail campaign.
Okay. Do you have any idea what the sustainer income will be this month?
Yeah, that would be probably in the neighborhood of about $25,000, probably around in that neighborhood. Yes.
$25,000 for sustainers?
Yeah, that's correct.
Because the Finance Committee has been asking for information on sustainers for the last year and a half to 2 years, and we haven't gotten anything. Two years ago, the sustainer income was on the order of $3,000 a month. And you're saying that sustainers are now on the order of $30,000 a month?
No, not that high. No, that wouldn't be that high. It would probably be in the neighborhood between $5,000 to $10,000 for sustainers for the month of January.
Okay. Well, I've gotten I'm confused because I've gotten several numbers now that don't seem to aren't consistent.
Yeah, that's the problem. We're trying to get the Allegiant system to give us what sustainer income can we expect to receive in the future. So we're trying to do that right now as we speak, to try to get that number out where we can expect how much in sustainer income we're going to receive in the next month or so.
If I may, if Fred, are you done? Or
no, I'm not done.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that from my my own back of the envelope calculations that KPFK has been bringing KPFK has been bringing in on the order for the last year since the March lockdown has been bringing in $200,000 a month on average, and we've been running up a debt of $100,000 a month through that period. And the reason being is that our operational costs have been on the order of $300,000. So the difference between operational costs and income. KPFK, I'm estimating, has been running a deficit of $100,000 a month all throughout last year. We should... And you'll notice from the P&L for fiscal year 20, the deficit was listed for KPFK at almost $700,000. I think it was $697,000. So assuming that that's been consistently happening, I think KPFK has run up a total deficit through December on the order of $1 million. This is the nature of the financial crisis, that we're spending more than we're actually bringing in. So we shouldn't be crowing about the fact that we're bringing in on average $200,000 a month. And that's just my treasurer's analysis of the financial situation. I'm very worried about this second payroll of the month. If we don't, we're going to be borrowing again internally within Pacifica to make payroll. At what point is this going to be changed from just being a financial crisis to the point in which the station has to shut down because we can't make payroll? That's it. That's my little statement. I'm finished.
Thank you, Fred. Grace, give me a moment here. I'll get to you right now. Barry, I would like for us to see backup specific billings that were paid on behalf of Christine Blasdale hotels in Australia and any other related expenses.
Okay, there hasn't been any bills paid for Christine in the last 8 months.
Okay, I'm not interested in... Okay, I am not interested in the last 8 months. Anything prior to that?
For what year? I mean, do you want just one? What years are you speaking of?
Okay, you're speaking of the last 8 months. So I would like to see the last 3 years prior to the last 8 months, since nothing has been paid within 8 months.
You want the last 3 years?
Correct.
Sorry, point of order, Bella. I think you need to stay with the stack. It's not appropriate for the chair to keep taking the floor and putting additional items ahead of other people.
This is something that was requested earlier, and it was never complied with, and we have been sidetracked on this matter. So this is important, Barry, if you can work on that, compiling that. Okay, Grace, go ahead.
All right. Barry, when you say that the first payroll is $74,000, does that include health care?
No, the $74,000 is for the 15th of January payroll, okay?
Yeah.
And
okay,
it does not include health care. Health care was paid in the first...
Okay. How much is the total health care?
Health care payment was $30,000 on January the 2nd.
Okay. And that was made?
Yeah, that was made.
Okay. Good. Now, what about the pension payments?
I don't get involved with the pension payments, but I'd have to talk to Tamara about that. So they're in charge of whether or not the pension payments are being dispersed to the employees.
Not to dispersed. Aren't there matches? Employee matches?
Well, yeah. I mean, as far as their account, you know, I'm sure they have accounts. Each employee has an account.
Okay.
For their pension.
So you don't have any information about that?
I don't. Tamara. Okay.
Lawrence is here.
Okay.
Hi, Lawrence.
Okay.
One moment. Go ahead, Grace.
Yeah. Okay, so my next question is, I'm sure there are other bills that need to be paid, but moving past that, $74,000 will be your next payroll, which is due at the end of the month.
Well, the second payroll is going to be less because it won't include seniority. So that probably would be $65,000 for January 31st's payroll.
What does it have to do with seniority?
Seniority. The employees get seniority compensation every other paycheck.
Okay. So the next payroll will be $65,000.
Right.
Okay. So at the second of February, before the end of January, the payroll of $65,000 will have to be met, and that roughly don't have enough in the bank to pay that or to pay the legal fees to the union attorney and other backlogged payables. Who's going to cover that payroll expense? How is that going to be paid? No?
Like I said before, we had the end-of-the-year mail campaign, so there will be money coming in for that. And I'll have to monitor the bank account to see how it fluctuates between now and the 31st. But some of the bills that we have to pay, like vendor bills, will have to wait a little bit because the payroll is the number one priority.
Okay, so it looks to me like
I am good.
Extraordinary.
So, of course, JJ walked away from the screen. I'm Janine.
Hello, Janine.
Thank you for me.
Can you hold on? Janine, can you hold on? Thank you.
Okay.
Go ahead, Grace.
So it looks like there is a deficit of $50,000 in payroll expenses that are not going to be met for the second payroll period unless there's a significant amount of income from the mailing or from residual fund drive income. And there are other outstanding payables. What about the severance payments? How much does that add up to? You know, you had negotiated to pay the employees who were laid off over a six-month period.
Yeah,
so how much is the monthly severance?
The severance was taken care of in October, partial. And then the rest of it was taken care of in December. So all the employees that were laid off have received their severance.
Okay.
And what?
All right. Okay, so all of the severance has been paid for the four employees who were laid off. Okay. And are there any other outstanding payables that you can think of?
Not at this time. That's about it, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, the ones that count.
All right. Okay. Next question is there a premium backlog?
There is a very small amount that we owe Forest Incentives. I think the last, I paid Forest Incentives in December, and I think I have one other invoice for $700 to pay them, and that's it for them.
Okay.
As far as any additional premiums, you'd have to talk to Terry about that because he's the one that generates those invoices.
Okay, very good. And so are there any other payables, any other bills we're not paying, such as electric, phone, anything else? Any other legal bills?
No, that's it.
So we're up to date on all our utilities?
We
Well, there's one other. There was one utility bill, the Southern California Edison bill, that we have to pay for the Mount Wilson Observatory. I extended that till January the 25th, I believe.
How much is that?
That is $6,000.
Okay. So that has to be paid this month. You extended it
correct.
To this month. Is that
at
correct?
The end of the month, right. Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. And what about the phone?
The phone has been paid.
Okay. Are there any other? Let me look here. What about how much is owed to the affiliate network?
$17,000 to the affiliate.
$17,000.
Correct.
All right. And how much is our total arrears in central services to date?
We are approximately 8 months in arrears for 2020. $294,000, I believe it was. Yeah, $294,632.
Okay. So we're close to $300,000 in arrears on our central services.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for this information. I should... I've mentioned this a number of times, but Sharon Adams, I'll repeat it here, Sharon Adams, the treasurer of KPFA, has said a number of times on National Finance Committee calls that if a station cannot pay its bills, she feels that all their staff should be laid off and the station should be made into a repeater station. So, you know, we are not capable at this time paying our bills. Oh, I did have another couple of questions. What is our total monthly payroll? Is that approximately, is that $65,000 plus $74,000? Is that what it is
That's
currently?
Correct. That's correct.
Okay. And what are our total
can you, Grace, can you repeat that number again, please?
Yes. The total, the first payroll of the month is $74,000. Is that correct, Barry?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the second payroll of the month is roughly $65,000?
That's correct.
So the total monthly payroll is $139,000?
Give or take a little. It's probably like $140,000, just rounded up $140,000 now.
$140,000. Okay.
Right.
And that includes health care? It does not include health care.
That does not include health care, no.
Okay. So the health care is another $30,000 a month. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So are there any other employee payroll type expenses for employee expenses per month besides the health care and the salaries themselves?
No, that's it. Unless you lay somebody off and you have to pay them vacation and
right. But at this time, okay. The
yeah,
other thing
time,
is the other expenses, monthly expenses. What do they add up to?
The other monthly.
You have $170,000 in payroll and health.
Okay. Well, the total amount of expenses that KPFK incurs on a month-to-month basis is roughly around $280,000 per month. That includes health care, payroll, the cost of operational cost of the station. All that is included in that number.
Okay. So
central services, all that.
Oh, that includes central services?
In that $280,000, yes.
Okay. All right. So $280,000 is the monthly total monthly expenses, including central services.
Correct.
Okay.
That's what we
and so we are running, would it be correct to say that we are running in the rears approximately $80,000 per month if our income is running at $200,000 a month?
Approximately, yeah. I would say more like $75,000 around here.
Okay. All right. I think those are all of my questions. Thank you very much.
Paulina, to the staff.
Yes, I believe that Janine, you came in. Hi there.
Bella, can you let me know when I can ask a question?
Yes, Lawrence, there you go. Go ahead.
Just real quick, I'm on the pension committee, and
yes.
We consolidated the pension to one pension. And
yes.
I encourage, I don't know if that was Barry Brooks or Arnell that was speaking, answering the questions.
Barry.
Yeah, I would definitely, Barry, I would definitely like you to communicate with Netta to make sure that those pension payments are included in the expenditures. Please do that. Thank you.
Alan Beek with a question.
Thank you, Lawrence. Hi, Paulina, did I hear you? You wanted to speak?
Yes, I did.
Go ahead, Paulina and Alan.
Barry.
Yes.
So if you are not, not aware of how our healthcare payments being made to employees, which accounts are those coming out of?
I just told you the healthcare was being paid. What are you talking about?
I may have misheard. That's what I thought I heard that you couldn't give us the information about it being paid or not. Did I mishear you?
Yes, it has been paid. It's been paid for January.
Paulina,
okay.
$30,000 a month. What Barry wasn't sure about is the pension plan match.
Oh, I see. I see.
Calculated
okay.
out of the payroll by Chandler.
Understood.
Okay.
But still, yeah. But where does that come out of the pension payment? Out of KPFK.
Out of the payroll.
Yeah. Well, I mean, out of a KPFK account, correct?
The payroll.
Payroll.
It's calculated in the personnel cost.
The call is still going.
I'm asking about it's coming out of a KPFK affiliate bank account, correct?
No, it comes out of KPFK's operating bank account.
Well, it's a KPFK account. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Alan Beat with a question.
Janine to the stack.
Okay, Janine. Go ahead, Alan.
I would like to find out who was the author of that long diatribe we heard at the beginning that was so very critical of our financial arrangements at KPFK. Who wrote that?
That was Kim Kaufman, her resignation dissertation.
That was Kim. Okay, thank you. I now have a long suggestion. It'll take about 2 minutes. Can
okay.
I have that long to talk
sure.
about something?
Go ahead, please.
We have heard here for more than an hour now a spontaneous bunch of miscellaneous questions and answers, and things have been supplied to us in writing by Barry rather sporadically. And I would like very much to have Barry provide us with a schedule of what we're going to get from him, telling us what it's going to be and when it's going to arrive. And he would have to negotiate some with Netta to try to find out when they can provide the information to him. But then he could let us know what we're going to have and when it's going to come, and it would be in writing, and it would be at least 4 days before a finance committee meeting. So we would have at least 4 days to study it and understand it and be able to make use of it at the meeting. The way it is with things coming sporadically, both from him and the questions from us, it's just a complete scramble and impossible to follow. And I would like to have regular reports presumably including a monthly profit and loss statement, a monthly balance sheet, and the balance sheet would, of course, include all the aging accounts payable and any special things like the insurance that take special attention. It would be just wonderful if we would know what we were going to get and be able to study it for a few days before the meeting. Then I think we would be in a better position to answer all that criticism about not knowing what's going on financially. And I would like to request that of Barry. How much can Barry produce in the way of a schedule of what's coming? Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. That is very cogent. We have asked for this, I don't know how many years. Barry, can you respond, please?
Yes. As soon as the information is made available to me, I will forward it along to you.
Okay.
When those What
we are asking as a body, which Alan has just communicated clearly, is a schedule. So in other words, and I have asked this before many times, if we get a bullet list of all the important documents that we need, we start with a balance sheet, we go into the accounts payable aging report. And I also want to remind you, and you've heard me say this before, an accounts receivable aging report, so that we know how much money we are going to get beyond what we collect in the moment when we're doing any fund drives, whether it be on the website, whether it be on air, whether it be silent, whatever it may be. We need to have beyond the immediate pledges, that becomes an accounts receivable for us. If we keep track of these areas, then we know what our budget will be so that we know how much money we need to bring in and how to best adequately schedule our fund drive, right? It's all part of the same gamut. So we need a balance sheet. We need all the aging reports. We need a P&L, and we need a bank reconciliation. You never give us a bank reconciliation, so we have to take your word for it. And when Fred pointed out that a certain number on that report of yours would need to be deducted from the balance that you gave us, because that is, in essence, is an accounts payable, then we never know exactly what we have at the bank, and we cannot substantiate it. A bank reconciliation is just as critical. I don't know how many years I've requested this. So if you do the bookkeeping, you should know what the reports are that we need, along with a general ledger or trial balance, so that we can substantiate the balance sheet numbers with a general ledger trial balance. Okay, I wanted to ask you, Barry, I'll go right to you, Janine, one moment. How many employees have been laid off so far?
4 employees were laid off in October. 1 part-time.
I did not hear you. I did not hear you. You sounded muffled.
4
How many?
Employees were laid off in October. 1 part-time.
4 have been laid off, okay, in October. Okay. Could you give us an idea of the 30% mandate of reduction in your estimate? This is only an estimate. What is the percentage of the reductions that you would feel comfortable giving us right now has been met by that request to date?
Well, we have cut back our operational costs by 30% to date, but as far as our personnel costs, I think we have eliminated approximately 15% of personnel costs right now.
Only 15%?
Correct.
Okay, which then brings me back to what I have been asking for, which we really need is a 70% reduction, including, of course, serious personnel costs. Okay, thank you so much for that. Janine, you're on.
I didn't hear
Barry's answer to, can he provide us a schedule of what he's going to give us?
Right.
Yes,
so,
Barry.
Alan, can I wanted to jump in on just that. I wanted to suggest a cash flow be constructed for the next 2 or 3 months so that we know the incoming and outgoing projections for the station. And I'd be willing to work with either Barry or anybody else to construct that for him, a template, so that we know
that's
what
the... That's in the process of being done right now. We're trying to extrapolate what the sustainer income is going to be for future months. So that's what we're doing now. That's in the works right now for cash flow.
If I may add there, Janine, what Barry is suggesting is it should not stop the progress. If you want to assist with a template, I think we should go ahead and try to do that, because if we are just waiting for one item, which is the sustainer numbers, that should not be an impediment to creating the template for the cash flow. We've been asking for a cash flow schedule for a long time. So, Janine? Janine?
Yes, I guess I'm just volunteering to do it so that we have it sooner, like in the next week. And that,
yes.
I'd also like to propose that we have another meeting on the 27th before the end of the month to review it.
This is good. Were you at the beginning of this meeting? Of course you were. You remember that I left it kind of open in case we would get receive the consolidated financials from NITA before the month is over, including December. So can we play along with that flow? Well, how does the body feel about going over the template of a cash flow on the 27th of the month?
I think that's the same thing I asked for, a schedule of what Barry is going to be giving us.
No. What you are asking for is a bullet point list of the reports that we are going to get and the time scheme involved with that. What Janine is requesting or suggesting is that she collaborate with any of us to create a cash flow template. And that cash flow will give us a bird's eye view of where we stand and where we will be given the present circumstances 3 months from now. Within 3 months, and this is very critical. This is in lieu of a budget. So this is just as good as a budget, but on a short term. So how do people feel about that, scheduling a quick meeting on the 27th? That would be on Wednesday of January.
I would think that would depend a little bit on the budget and what we expect to be spending month by month.
No, Alan, we are talking about a cash flow,
yes.
A cash template for KPFK. Would you be available on the 27th?
The cash that comes in and goes out is going to be dependent on what we say we're going to do in the budget.
Alan, please understand, what Janine has just offered is a cash flow template. You know what a cash flow template is. So this will be for the next 3 months so that we can go over it and discuss it on January 27th, Wednesday. Would you be available?
Yes.
Good.
This is Polina. I have to say, sorry to interrupt. Bella, can I be recognized for
a 30 seconds?
Yeah. Yes. I will teach a class, and I will not be available for that date
for
that particular Wednesday.
Thank you for that.
But, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Talk to you all later.
But you would
Bye.
Still but you would still be able to interact via email. So it doesn't matter if not, if you
cannot. Well, not while I'm teaching the class,
right. Okay.
In general, absolutely.
Are there any objections to meeting on the 27th? What time would be good? How about 4 o'clock?
We have a meeting at 3 to, facilitate the various participation. I didn't object to the meeting, but I actually agree with what Alan said. I think that the likelihood of coming up with a cash flow projection as opposed to just reporting what our cash flow has been, which that would be interesting in itself. I think, the need to have these borrow money from KPFA and from the Pacifica Affiliates Unit has to do with the fact that our cash flow has not been adequate. So I think it'd be interesting to start with a back as opposed to a projection, just start with the facts of what we have, look at what our cash flow has been. But what I want to say is I think Alan is correct. Going forward, it really depends on a budget projection, which we still really don't have a budget as far as I know. I don't know if the PNB has adopted one for the station, but if not, it might be a useless exercise, honestly. I'd like to make a motion at some point that we recommend to the LSB a special LSB meeting on the first quarter financial evaluation. That would be for the, I believe it's the 14th, whatever the second, February 14th, but whenever that's appropriate.
Okay, one moment, Janine. I'll come right back to you. Are you suggesting, Michael, that we ask the LSB to hold a special meeting to deal with the financial matter on February 14th? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the LSB isn't scheduled to meet until the 21st of February. By that time, we would definitely have in hand the first quarter completed from the bills and have had a regular finance committee meeting on the 10th, which is the Wednesday. So I'm suggesting the following Sunday we have a special meeting of the LSB. Recommend to the LSB a special meeting devoted exclusively to financial questions, including how to improve our finances.
Right. Okay, I am on board with that. But before we go and vote on that, Janine, you wanted to add on to the cash flow projection.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that people understood, and it is something that I can do on Google Docs or Google Sheets so that everybody can help me build it. But it would have elements of the budget. And what are things that can wait, and what are things that have to get paid right away? It's a great way of doing a week-to-week in-going, outgoing, so that the hard decisions can be made about what needs to get paid first, second, and third, everything that Grace was asking. So, I think that we're getting to a point where we don't want the station to not be prioritized right, so it is a budget. I mean, Alan's been doing one, it's kind of incorporating all the information into a projected budget that will work with the way the money is coming in. So it does both.
Right.
Okay.
This is Grace for the stack.
If I may, before you, Grace, thank you, Janine, this is great. So, Janine, the time window for this, we would not be meeting again this month, but we can interact in between and then ask for a special meeting on the February 14th with the LSB, and that would be part of that process as well. I was going to ask you, Janine, Are you going to do this on Google Docs or Sheets? Which of the two? One, let's Docs. Sheets would be better than Docs because with Sheets is the spreadsheet.
Alan B. to the stack.
Janine?
Yeah, I disconnected, so I had to call back in. Sorry.
Okay. I ask you if we can do it on Google Sheets so that we're working with a spreadsheet.
Yes.
Alan B. to the stack.
Okay. Grace was right before you, Alan. Hold on one moment. Go ahead, Grace.
Okay. I'd like you all to understand that the National Board saw and the National Finance Committee saw the amount of red ink at KPFK and passed a resolution on June 11th mandating 30% cuts in expenses at KPFK. Most of those cuts have to be made in the payroll area because there simply aren't enough expense cuts possible in non-payroll, which puts this out of the purview. I mean, the local station board really doesn't have access to all the payroll information, and it would be personnel decisions that need to be made by the general manager and the interim executive director. So in a sense, the budget has been a budget or the financials have been examined by the National Finance Committee and the National Board, and the judgment has been made that significant cuts must be made, and most of them have to be made in payroll. And that's what has to be done. Right now, we owe NETA about $300,000. We have, as Barry said, we are in arrears on our central service payments of close to $300,000. If NETA, which does the accounting for the whole foundation, cannot continue, which they have to pay their staff, and they can't sustain this kind of non-payment, this is stalling the audits, something has to be done. And there's no amount of budgeting on our part that's going to get it done. What's going to get it done is administrative action to reduce expenses at KPFK, or somebody has to come up immediately with some large amounts of income. I don't see that happening. If anybody else sees it happening, you let me know. But barring that, we have to pressure, in my opinion, management to facilitate the necessary expense reductions at KPFK. That's the only place to go. There's no magic amount of accounting or Excel spreadsheets that are going to locate $80,000 to $100,000 a year in shortfall bills that we are not paying because we're not able to. So,
Janine, to the stack.
That's what needs to happen.
Janine, you're on. Did I hear Michael?
I was just saying $80,000 to $100,000 a month, not a year.
A month. I'm sorry.
That is per month, correct.
Yeah, sorry.
Janine, thank you, Grace. Janine, before you go, I want to reiterate that we need a 70% cut. We needed to mandate that from the very beginning, not a dismal 30% at our stage. So it is 70%.
I highly disagree with that. I think that that's not feasible and not helpful to suggest that.
Okay.
Can I go ahead?
One moment, please. If we take into account what Barry said, 30% on the, not on the overhead, but just admin expenditures, and about 15% so far in payroll, that puts us at 45%.
No.
And we still need to go at least at 30% or 20% more. Just wanted to refresh your memory. Go ahead, Janine.
So the exercise of doing a cash flow is to, you know, even if it's not attainable, it will show that it's not attainable.
Correct.
So, you know, we go through the exercise of doing this to see, oh, okay, the middle of March, we lock our doors, right? And then you back out of it and say, unless we do something by this week or this week or this week or this week. So for me, I'm suggesting something to make it extremely clear on when the status quo stops working.
Correct.
And I think that whoever has been reviewing this on the, you know, at PNB or whatever, maybe just doesn't understand that because the financials have not been presented in a very good way. And, you know, so this is all part of a bigger plan to make everything really clear. If it continues as it is, when does the train stop?
Thank you, Janine. That is so good.
When I get a chance, I'd like to respond to that.
Dave to the stack.
Okay, Dave. Michael.
Yeah, I think the thing is, Janine, that's what I was trying to say about working a cash flow backwards for a month or two. I think we've already passed the point of no return on the viability of the station. That's what people aren't getting because we haven't paid almost $300,000 in current central
not
services,
sure.
And we owe them from previous years before this one. So I think if we did a cash flow of, let's say, the first quarter of the fiscal year that's already in the books to demonstrate what our negative cash flow has been, because we're that's what we have is a negative cash flow. We're piling
right.
up bills and debts and non-payment of,
Right. I just don't know that there's anybody that's been in the mix right now that's fully up to speed that can mm-hmm. go ahead and say, if we do A, B, and C, then we can stay afloat. You know what I mean? Like, and literally show what that would be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard to talk about it in just hypotheticals right now with 30% this or whatever. You know, I mean, to me, and I don't want to wait until the 27th
yeah.
or in February.
No,
I would rather get it going now so that, you know, more can be done by the time we start to hit a wall.
Yeah, I'm not opposing having an extra meeting of the committee on the 27th and getting the information together. I'm just saying that just looking at what our cash flow problems have been up to this point, which are right there in the record, basically. I mean, putting it down on paper in the way you're suggesting, I think, would be helpful. And if you can get a projection, so much the better. I just want to say one.
Michael?
I heard Dave want to speak.
Michael?
Yes?
What did you say last? I did not hear you at all.
I said I forgot the other point I wanted to make.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I yield the floor.
Okay. I heard
Grace. I'd like to respond to Janine.
Yes. Before you go on, Grace, I wanted to add that I have been asking for a comprehensive accounts payable ledger agent report, which we never get. By comprehensive, I mean everything on the table. And because we never know how much we have to pay out, and our income has not been accounted properly, we never know where we stand. Go ahead, Grace.
Lawrence to the stack.
Lawrence.
Okay.
Okay,
I'd like to explain something. The National Board passed a resolution, a detailed resolution, mandating a 30% expense reduction at KPFK. That was June 11th, and I don't see anything, and there is no problem with the National Board. That resolution passed the NFC without objection, and it passed the National Board without objection. It was passed unanimously. Nobody opposed that. Nobody was questioning it. The bottleneck is not with the National Board. The bottleneck is with management. KPFK management and national management, the mandated expense cuts have not been implemented. Now, it might be beneficial. We've already passed the point of no return at KPFK. We are not meeting our own bills, and we are, in fact,
we are now causing deficits at the other stations
and units.
Grace, okay. Can you hold on, please? Can someone mute? That's making a lot of
noise. Bella, it's already muted.
Okay. Go ahead. So, did you finish, Grace?
So I understand what you're trying to say, Janine. I just wanted to let you know that cash flow might be useful because, unfortunately, because of the delay in implementing that mandate that was resolved by the National Board on June 11th of 2020, our indebtedness has grown, and the expense cuts maybe have to be even greater. So, and I think I'm trying to express my sense of unbelievable urgency. This is really urgent because there will be an effort. There already is talk about making KPFK into a repeater station, shutting it down, laying off all the staff, every single one, and having what goes on our air be piped in mainly from KPFA. So this is a very serious problem. The bottleneck is in management, not with the National Board. But
no one
do a cash flow analysis. That would be helpful. But I'm trying to express what's already happened.
Okay. No, it has not happened because we're not getting the necessary cuts. I heard
that.
No,
I mean what's already happened on the board level. That's
Okay. Yes. Okay. Thank you, Grace. Dave, and then Laura.
Well, okay, so going with what Grace said about a 30% cut, our expenses have generally speaking been $300,000 a month at the station. So a 30% cut to coordinate with the June 11th PNB mandate would be $90,000. So that would mean we'd have to have the station operating in the $200,000 per month range. And Barry has already said just a few minutes ago during this meeting that we're running somewhere around about $280,000 in total expenses. So you can see we're not even close to it. We have constantly been asking this management to make appropriate changes and cuts or to come up with revenue, and for one reason or another, they've not been able to. So therefore, we are in very serious jeopardy along the lines of what Grace mentioned. And I wanted to ask Barry, and I might have missed a little bit of the call today, but why is it we can't get monthly profit and loss, balance sheet, accounts payable, aging sheets, and other things on a timely manner? Why can't this committee receive P&Ls and balance sheets? What's the holdup at this point?
Okay, well, that's at the discretion of META. They're the ones that are putting in the financial statements on a month-to-month basis. So we have to wait until they comprise all the consolidation and all the individual stations roll up into that one parent company. So that they're doing that. I have also asked Tamara, can we get a monthly balance sheet? They're supposed to be producing that too, but that has not been produced by them. So they're the ones that are producing the financial statements at this time.
So do we have these statements for the previous month? And if we do, can we get
November is available.
A balance sheet?
No, not a balance sheet, a P&L.
The
most recent balance sheet for September is September 30th, 2020.
September. So even after all this time, all that, we still can't even get a full set of financial documents that might even be 1 month old. That's basically what you've just said. Is that right, Barry?
That's correct. The last P&L we received was November. Tamara and Netta are in the process of getting the December financials by the end of the month of January.
Okay. So my question I would like to ask management would be, is this going to be the standard operating procedure that we're 2 months behind? Or, you know, in other words, we almost need to coordinate our finance committee meeting so at least we have the most recent set of financial statements. Or when we do get a balance sheet and a P&L and stuff, we should at least have part of a meeting where we discuss what we have on those. So I would request that somehow we can ask NEDA if they will ever get, say, within 30 days from us getting one. That would be my request. The second thing is, so from what we've talked about tonight, we're basically running $70,000 a month in the red. Now, we've been doing this for a very long time. We've asked this general manager since, I remember, since at least about October, November of 2020, or 2019, rather, to increase revenue or make cuts. And we haven't done it. We're running $70,000 in a month in the red. It's going to put us straight into the precarious predicament as outlined earlier by Grace. And so my question is, without laying blame or COVID or anything like that, is basically we would like to have we'd like to hear from the general manager what is his plan to overcome a $70,000 a month deficit that he has been running for months and months and months now. And then the other thing I'd like to mention is when I looked at Barry's report, I just did a little bit of envelope pencil math as well. And on the first paragraph, he's got an $88,000 balance, and then it says we're getting $23,000 in. Okay, I make that out to be $112,000. So then I deducted the $74,000 payroll and came up with a figure. And then I added in the next payroll and assumed that we had a little bit of extra cash coming in, the second payroll being $65,000. So I predict that we're at least $26,000 short of making our payroll at the end of this month. And that doesn't include some of the expenses that Grace was given a few minutes ago, like the $6,000 bill for the Edison Company. So in light of the fact that we're probably a good $25,000 plus short of making our second and final payroll this month, what is management's plan to meet payroll? Are we just assuming we're going to have to borrow again? And this is not sustainable, going back to what Grace mentioned earlier. So what is the general manager's plan? You know, if you need to make 50% cuts in something and you only make 10% cuts in something and you're not able to operate in the black, that's the problem. It's not taking care of your problem. It's only scratching a small dent out of it. And it seems like that's what we're doing. And also to follow on with what Grace is saying, we have been asking, pleading, and begging management to either come to meetings and learn something, management that has never taken an accounting class or a night school finance class, and who could listen to suggestions that we have been making for over 12 months now, and you know, tell us what the plan is. Tell us what the efficient plan is, the plan that will actually take care of this $70,000 a month deficit problem. I would like to ask that to management here, just verbally, even though our general manager has not attended. And I have a lot of other questions where we can get into some real numbers here, but I think I'll just stop right now and say thank you very much. And thank you, Barry, for coming and participating.
Okay. That was Lawrence. Before you was Janine.
Okay.
This is Alan Beek. I was on the stack. Did I ever get called?
And Alan. Janine, were you on before Alan? No.
No, I'm not on the stack.
Okay, good. It was Alan then. Go ahead, Alan.
Go ahead, Alan.
Alan?
Am I on now?
Yes, yeah. Alan, you're on.
Okay. The National Board, with that order to cut expenses by 30%, was absolutely crazy. They were talking in a fantasy world. They were just being ridiculous. There is no such thing as cutting your expenses by 30%. Trying to cut your expenses means firing people. Firing people means big severance charges because you've got a contract with a union. Cutting expenses runs your expenses up. You cannot voluntarily cut your expenses. We're in a fix where we have only two choices. borrow some money from our lender, the FJC, or get some big government COVID handout right now. I think that probably going for a loan from FJC is the most likely one, but certainly people should keep working on the government to see what they can get. But unless we can get a big loan, a cash flow analysis is going to show us going right straight into the bankruptcy court. And that's all there's going to be to it. I'm through.
Thank you, Alan. Go ahead, Lauren.
Okay.
Lawrence, have the floor first. Hold on, Grace.
Yes, of course.
Okay, so in regards to getting those financials that you, Bella, and others had mentioned, I have a director's inspection request in, and I'm being told due to the surge in the coronavirus right now that for some reason electronic documents cannot be emailed to me. I don't understand that. It seems like if we're experiencing the surge and we're working from home, then that means we're more on the computer than we are at our desks, right? So I don't understand the rationale in regards to that. Now, in regards to financial reports, NEDA can only do what NEDA is given, right? So that means that the stations, I'm not just going to point out Barry, that means that the stations have to be able to provide their financial accountability to NEDA in order for them to email back or however you get it. Now, I don't think you get a snail mail, so everything's being emailed these days, right? I mean, we're all on some kind of alternative virtual platform. So I don't understand how I'm being blocked in regards to being able to do that director's inspection and get those documents electronically to me. So I would suggest that this committee write an email to the IED and request that those documents be emailed to me in order for me to provide them to the committee. That's the only way you're going to get them, because Barry's going to wait for the person down the hall to give him permission or to give him authorization, and the person down the hall is going to wait for somebody to give him authorization. Nobody can seize nothing sometimes without a fight, right? And so what I'm saying is that I encourage you to email the IED and try to compel the IED to let management know that I should receive those documents in electronic form. If not, I can make arrangements to pick them up in hard copy. I don't know if Barry's in the office these days or whatever, but the fact is that you need that financial information. Somebody please mute themselves. They're being very rude. You need that financial information. I don't know who that is. There must be a schmuck. Anyway, so you need that financial information in order to make a better informed decision, in order to do what both Alan and Janine are suggesting. And the other thing, I'm a little bit more optimistic than pessimistic, right? For some reason, I'm a hope fiend. And I believe that we'll climb out of this hole some way. Down the road, there is another possible 2.5 months of PPP that's going to be coming in from the Small Business Administration. So we're monitoring that. So let's not lose hope, and let's try to paint a better picture. I know the realities are different, but I think we could also learn from those realities and how to be more strength-based instead of so pessimistic. Thank you.
Thank you so much,
Fred,
Ron.
To the floor. Fred, to the floor.
Hold on, Fred. I'm glad you mentioned the PPP. Okay, Michael. I'm glad you mentioned the PPP and the horizon.
I was going to give a little taste of that. That's also in the works. Okay, go ahead, Fred, and then Michael.
Lawrence, do you want
to? I was on the stack, too. Great.
And Grace, okay.
Okay, Lawrence, would you like? Thank you. Lawrence, would you like this committee to pass a motion to support your director's request for a director's inspection?
Yes.
Yes, Fred. That would be very supportive. Oh. Put it in writing, please.
Okay. Okay. Bella, let me speak. You gave me the floor. So I move that the KPFK Finance Committee makes a motion that the Finance Committee requests that the GM and the Executive Director Director Lawrence Reyes's director's inspection for electronic documents document requests for KPFK. That may not be the best wording, but I make the motion. Thank you.
I have the wording, Fred, and I'll be reading it in a moment. And there's also a motion from Michael earlier, so we have two documents that we need to okay and push on. Grace?
Yes, I'm going to direct this to Alan. I understand your concern, Alan, and the time that you've put into creating budgets. I'd like to tell you that it is possible to make 30% cuts at least, if not more, without encumbering KPFK with large severance payments. In fact, the severance payments would be minimal. It would not be a good idea to borrow money to pay ongoing shortfalls at KPFK. That's very poor management. The expense cuts need to be made. They can be made in a fiscally responsible way. Also, they can be negotiated so that the severance is paid out over a 6-month or a 1-year period. It does not. It is very feasible. Believe me, the severance payments are not that high. I have the numbers, and they are not overwhelming. And the cuts can be made in expenses. And by the way, our union contract has expired. We are negotiating in good faith with the union. However, we are not completely restricted by a union contract at this point in time. At any rate, it wouldn't make any sense for the union to push us into a point of complete insolvency. The other thing I wanted to tell you is we cannot go into bankruptcy. And the reason we cannot go into bankruptcy, there are two reasons. The first is there is a bankruptcy clause in our loan. If we go into bankruptcy, the lender can and will foreclose on all our buildings and put them on the market. So we don't have the option of going into bankruptcy because that will force the sale of our buildings. The next thing is a judge is going to say, what is this? This is ridiculous. You have an unbalanced budget, and they would just make sure that our budget is balanced by making the layoffs, which we seem to not be able to make. So bankruptcy is not feasible. Borrowing money to pay for shortfalls that can be easily remedied with expense cuts makes no sense. And it is possible to make payroll cuts because the severance costs are not that high. And it's completely doable to make expense cuts without having a huge severance expense.
Okay. Thank you.
Numbers. I'm talking as a person who's seen the numbers. I know what the severance numbers are. I know what the payroll is. I'm talking from being completely cognizant of the actual financial numbers involved.
Who is that?
Thank you, Grace.
I want to interject something.
Okay, go ahead, Barry.
In regards to Reyes or Lawrence's comment, documents have been provided to him, and Kim Kaufman has picked up some of the documents related to the director's inspection. So I just want to interject that part about, so, you know, some documents have been picked up by them.
Is that the current inspection? Is that the current inspection or the previous inspection?
Can I chair, please? I need to chair. Thank you. Barry, can you please send us a list of the documents that were picked up by Kim Kaufman?
Sure.
As soon as possible. I mean, like, now, if you can. Thank you. So we all have them so that we know what our motion is going to be. Did I hear Michael on the stack?
Yes.
Go ahead, Mike.
So I think there are three things pending. One is Janine's idea to have a special meeting of this committee on the 27th to look at cash flow report and projections.
Right.
And I would urge her to start with the data we already have in hand, not projections, but the factual data of what our cash flow was going back to, you know, through the first quarter of this year. This is has to be there.
Right.
That's why we borrowed the money. Second thing is, I agree with what Grace said as far as severance, because the cuts should start with management who don't get severance. And then the basis on which you can go to your staff and union employees and talk about cuts is that you've already cut your management as much as possible. You know, it's a basic union principle, is chop from the top, and there's plenty of room at the top here to chop. But the other two items were the proposal that the committee send a letter to the GM and IED asking for full compliance. So as soon as we get the list of what has been sent or picked up, then we should identify the things that haven't and ask for those to be provided. And the third was my motion for a recommendation to the LSB for a special meeting of the LSB on Sunday, February 14th, to look at the first quarter financials and make an evaluation to send to the PNB.
Right. So there are three motions on the floor. Are there any objections to any of those three?
Can you read?
I don't see. Okay. Michael's first motion is that we ask the LSB to hold a special meeting on Sunday, February 14th, leading into its next LSB meeting on that the following Sunday, so that it will be exclusive to discuss financial matters, to meet with the Finance Committee, to discuss everything to that moment. This was requested by Lawrence Reyes at our LSB meeting over a month ago, and it was declined. It was voted down. And so we need to go ahead with that. That's one.
Friendly amendment?
I'm sorry?
Friendly amendment?
Sure, Michael. Go ahead.
Well, I'm wondering if we want to invite the interim executive director to join that, as well as anyone from the Finance Committee of the PNB.
Yes, and in fact, you and I had communications about this. The previous motion from Lawrence was of inclusion, to include national leadership as well as local. So it has to be inclusive. So definitely the PNB Finance Committee Chair, the IED, and also Tamara. Tamara is our national office person. She should be there. Michael, did you say something?
I said, is she the interim CFO?
Yes.
No. No. Camera
Anita
is...
Anita Sims. Interim CSO.
Anita Sims. Right. Tamara is working in there, too. But, yeah, Anita Sims. So that we include her as well. Okay, the other motion is the one Lawrence just made. Janine's motion is, of course, to meet on the 27th of this month to go over, and we did not schedule the time. She will be, I will collaborate with her for a cash flow for the next 3 months of KPFK. We're going to deal with actual et cetera, and that we need, that should be a special meeting for that to deal with that alone. And that will be on the 27th of this month. I suggested 4 o'clock. Was there any objection for 4 o'clock? None heard. Okay, so 4 o'clock, and then the last one is from Lawrence Reyes to once again demand of the IED,
That was from Fred, Bella. That was from Fred.
No, you made the motion.
Didn't make the motion. Fred made the motion. I just suggested that you that this committee write to the IED.
Okay, then the motion was then reframed by Fred to compel the IED to ratify. The second most recent director's inspection request by our director, Lawrence Reyes, to be met through electronic transmission of all the necessary documents that have been requested to date. So for the dire reasons that we know. So those are the three motions on the table. I don't see any objection to them. So I will type them up and submit them to the group, and you can put in your 2 cents in it. I have to leave at 5:30. It's 5:12.
This is Grace. I make a motion that we adjourn.
Any objections?
I object to adjourning until we resolve that question of the meeting on the 27th.
We already decided at 4 o'clock. Alan, you were not listening.
Okay, I'm satisfied.
Okay, good. So, Grace, motion to adjourn. Any objection? Hearing none, we have adjourned. Thank you, everybody.